Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Dub Nation. Many years have passed, filled with titles.
NBA champions.
And new faces.
The Golden State Warriors select James Wiseman.
But now, the voice of the Warriors. The voice of the Warriors. Invites you to return to your seats.
Please take your seats.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
Bernie Butter got it!
Welcome back to the table.
On the exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95.7, the game.
Here's Tim Roy.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Roundtable. I am Tim Roy. Warriors getting ready for a game in Portland tomorrow night, 7 o'clock with the tip, 6:30 with the pregame show right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7, the game. Now, Golden State comes in with a record of 19-16, having lost to Los Angeles the other night. Not a good night for Golden State, obviously. They didn't play well. They weren't ready. And I think they have to find a way in the future to match LA's physicality. Looked like the Lakers were just a little bit bigger and stronger at every position, almost every position. And that's not a good recipe if you're going to try to win games. You have to be able to match their physicality. I don't think the Warriors did that. And on defense, they were fouling, and they continued to be the team that surrenders the most free throw attempts per game in the association, which is astounding to me when you consider how good their defense has been. Their defense has been really good, and yet they still foul, and they still put people on the free throw line. So it's a real testament, I think, to what they're doing on the defensive end, that they're still a top five defense, even with that number staring you right in the face. Again, 7 o'clock tomorrow, Warriors in Portland, Warriors in Phoenix, right in the middle of this six-game stretch that I'm calling the toughest stretch in the association. I'll match this schedule up with anybody's six-game stretch. Lakers in L.A., Portland in Portland tomorrow night, Phoenix in Phoenix on Thursday. And think about that one. You're going to leave Portland at around probably about 11 o'clock with your flight, right? 2.5-hour flight. So that then gets you to about 1:30. You lose an hour. Now you're looking at 2:30. Then you get into the hotel by about 3 a.m., and you got to get ready for a game that night. It's going to be a very difficult back-to-back. And then when the Warriors open the second half on Thursday, March 11th, again back in L.A., this time to face the Clippers, and then a back-to-back at home. Utah on Sunday, Lakers on Monday. That's a real difficult stretch. And if they survive this stretch with any kind of a 500 or better record, that'll be a great win for Steve Kerr and the coaching staff and the team. So I think it's going to be really difficult. But your thoughts are always appreciated here. 888-957-9570. You can hit me up at Warriors Vox, Warriors VOX, or you can hit the text line as well. Same number, 888-957-9570. Lots of ways to get in touch with me here on the Warriors Roundtable. And we've got a great show for you tonight. Later on in the show, we're going to give you all the scores of the night, look ahead of the schedule. We're also going to look back 59 years ago today in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points. It's one of those records. It just may never be broken. 100 points by Wilt Chamberlain in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Now, over the years, we've always gone back and looked at that game at this time of year. Back in the 90s, the Warriors did a special roundtable, a whole hour on that show with great interviews with Wilt and with Al Addles and with Daryl Imhoff, who played in that game for the New York Knicks, the former Cal great. And lots of different perspectives. Bill Campbell, Hall of Fame announcer, we'll hear from him. So we had an hour-long show, and we put together part of that. We redid it and put together part of that years ago. We're going to air part of that for you later on in this hour. Plus, Willie Green, former Warriors assistant coach, one of the great guys in the association, now an assistant coach with Phoenix. We'll talk to him about coaching and also the impact of Chris Paul on that Phoenix Suns roster. But first up, we're going to talk to Michael Mulder. Michael Mulder is the player the Warriors got out of the G League last year, signed him to a contract, and he has signed now a two-year NBA deal last year, so he is really living life large in the NBA. It's a job well done for him. He wasn't a highly recruited player coming out of high school in Canada. He went to junior college. He went to Kentucky. Didn't get a lot of run there on a very talented team that had Jamal Murray and the De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, people like that. But he's starting to find a home in the NBA, and he's trying to get better as a Golden State Warrior. So we'll hear from Michael Mulder in just 1 second. The Warriors Basketball Academy has reopened their doors to their facility in Oakland, and for a limited time, they're offering a free physically distanced Shoot 360 workout. Improve your game in our shooting and skill cages by going to gswacademy.com. It's really unique. It's really cool, and your game will get better. Michael Mulder's game is getting better all the time, shooting 41.9% from beyond the arc. He's a nice addition to the Golden State roster and a really great guy. I hope you enjoy my conversation right now with Michael Mulder. Mulder will drive. Mulder will finish with a right-hand dunk, 119-91.
That's something new I haven't seen from him.
Absolutely.
And I like it.
Well, Michael, it's been a kind of an odd year for everybody, and exciting for you. You have an NBA contract. You're on the Golden State Warriors, but you've had to do it in kind of a different way. What's it been like for you?
It's been awesome for me. Personally, it's been a great year of growth. You know, thinking back on where I was a year ago to where I am now, you know, it's been a great year of growth for me as a basketball player and as a person. So I'm just pretty thankful to be in the situation I'm in and continue to be able to work and grow every day with these guys.
What kind of growth have you had as a player?
As a player, I feel like I get better every day just being around these guys. You know, they make us all better offensively as well as defensively. But I think on the defensive end is probably where I've grown a little bit more. Being able to learn and adjust to defensive schemes on the fly has been something that's really good for me, as well as continuing to master my craft and work on my shooting and guard skills.
You mentioned defense. What's it like having Draymond Green on your side?
Man, it's everything. You know, I think everybody knows that he's our anchor on that end of the court. You know, he knows how to get the guys in the right places and put us in the right situations and positions to succeed. So it's really important, his role on our team. And, you know, we value him a lot for that. And, you know, a ton of that obviously is on the defensive end. And just to have a leader like that be able to, you know, help us out in so many ways, offensively and defensively, that's something that's special.
Is there anything in, I guess, specific that he has taught you or he has helped you with?
I wouldn't say like one specific thing. I'd say it's more the overall view of the game. You know, you can really that he knows the game of basketball. So when he starts to talk and discuss and you know, tell us about what he sees and what he thinks we should do and why that is, it gives you a great perspective on, you know, how locked in he is mentally, how much time he's spent watching film and studying and analyzing. So, you know, it's really easy to trust him because, you know, he knows what he's talking about. So, you know, there's a million things individually, but it's more the grand scheme of the entire side of defense that he's been able to really teach and lead all of us.
Talking to Michael Mulder here on the Warriors Roundtable, I'm Tim Roy, and Michael, you are from Canada, which in today's NBA is no big deal. There's plenty of great Canadian players in the league, and
And when I first got to the league, it wasn't that way. There was a big center for the Lakers and a couple of other teams named Mike Smrek, and I was going, wow, he's from Canada. That's pretty cool. You know, but to tell us a little bit about basketball in Canada and how it's perceived, and how do you think it's grown over the last few years?
Yeah, it's been great. To see Canadian basketball grow and thrive the way it has over the last few years has been awesome. Like you said, like growing up, there wasn't too many Canadians in the league. You know, I could count on one hand, really, when I was younger, how many Canadians I could watch every night on NBA basketball games. So growing up, watching that, obviously, I think all Canadian basketball players wanted to be part of that group. And it's great to see a lot of us being able to achieve that and, you know, represent our country every night when we step onto the floor. So obviously really fortunate to be a part of that group and really proud to be where I'm from and, be able to represent that.
How much of an impact do you think, you know, the fact that the NBA expanded into Canada, Vancouver and Toronto, how much of an impact do you think that had?
I think that definitely had an impact. Obviously, being able to play in those markets would create opportunity. But I think there are great players that come out of Canada and that play in Canada, and sometimes they're just getting a little bit overlooked. There's so much talent on this side of the border, so that's easy for that to happen. But I think it's been, you know, we've been putting the world more on notice and, obviously opening some eyes that there are great players coming from up north.
When you were in high school and you guys would you'd come down into toward Detroit, right? You would play in tournaments there?
Yeah, I played in tons of tournaments. My head coach, Pete Cusimano, that was really his focus, was getting us opportunities across the border. He would drive us, 6-7 hours sometimes to play in tournaments so that we would have an opportunity to be seen and be recruited by American teams, American coaches. So that was something that was really important for us in our development. And, I think he recognized that, how important it was for us to get into the U.S. circuit and really be noticed.
When you were playing in high school, or maybe you went to junior college at Vincennes, which is has a great pedigree. Guys like Bob McAdoo played there. Jerry Reynolds coached there. He was a longtime coach and GM with the Sacramento Kings. When you were young and you're on the way up, at what point did you realize there's a chance for me to make basketball a career?
I think I always wanted to make it a career. I could never really envision myself doing anything else. As hard as I tried, everyone would always tell you to have a backup plan and stuff like that. And I still agree and believe in that, but it was just difficult for me to imagine myself doing anything outside of basketball. So, I think I really realized it. Like you said, when you talked about Vincennes, I remember there was a day at Vincennes, my head coach, Todd Franklin, is a really intense guy. We had messed up one too many times, and he had us on the line running sprints for what seemed like forever. At the end of it, he kind of called us all in and was telling us basically, there's very few guys that can make a career out of this. I look around the room and there's a couple guys I think can make some money doing this. And I remember he named me specifically among two or three other guys. And I think that was kind of the first time, because I'd always been aspiring, I wanted to play Division One. And this was kind of the step I was taking in junior college to try to achieve that goal. But I don't think I had looked too much further. I'm kind of a one thing at a time type guy. So I hadn't really looked that much further down the road, but to hear him, and he really keeps it real. He doesn't lie or sugarcoat anything at all, and that's something I really like about him. To hear him mention me and say he thinks I could make a career out of what I was doing, that really put it on the radar for me. He really thinks that. I feel obligated now to make sure that comes to fruition. So I think that was really when it really got on the radar, like, wow, I could really make a career out of this and this could really be my profession. It was probably sometime around then.
You had some great teammates at Kentucky, and your friend with Jamal Murray, another great Canadian player. What's it like having all of you guys in the league at the same time?
Yeah, it's great, man. I mean, with Jamal, I've been so proud of what he's been able to do over in Denver. Obviously since the day he got drafted, as well as the rest of the guys, obviously getting to share the floor with former teammates, or former Kentucky guys. It seems like every game I go to, there's one or two Kentucky guys on the other team. And, that's something that's been really cool to see. You know, it's kind of like a brotherhood and a fraternity. It's a group I always wanted to be part of and worked so hard to be part of. So, to be able to obviously have that come to fruition and, you know, see these guys and talk with them, chat with them a little bit before the game, after, and to see how much they've grown since leaving Kentucky. It's something that we're all really proud of.
I loved it when John Calipari got in the Hall of Fame and he said, all the players on stage, anybody who thought I hurt their game, raise your hand. He said, DeMarcus Cousins is raising both hands. So, why has this team not been able to put together a long winning streak? It's like one step forward, one step back. What do you think has to happen for this team to roll off, say, 5 or 6?
You know, I think we're headed in that direction. I think we're getting better every day. Obviously learning and growing and adapting to things. You know, it's been a different type of year, but I think we are headed in that direction. We're definitely headed in the right way. You know, we haven't been able to put together a long winning streak, and it's not for lack of trying, that's for sure. We're definitely working hard towards that. So I'm sure coming up here, you know, we're gonna figure it out and be able to put one of those runs together. And really look like the team that everyone's familiar with. You know, I think we really are heading in that direction. So I think just being patient, continuing to learn and grow and continuing to go into every day with something new to get out of it is definitely gonna help us in the long run, and we'll be able to put something together.
Final question. You're a great shooter. I mean, there's no way around that. But you get to play with Stephen Curry. And that's a little bit of a different deal. Tell me the first time you saw him in person, and tell me what kind of an impact playing alongside him has had on you.
Yeah, you know, it's been obviously really special for me. Being able to share the floor with him has been awesome. You know, he's a great dude to watch and learn from because he's so professional in how he moves and what he does. You know, he's a great dude to model your game after. And it's almost hard because he's the greatest shooter of all time. You know, but not just shooting wise, you know, the way he moves without the ball, the way he impacts the game on defensive end. He's an all around guy. Obviously shooting is something that, you know, everybody, it looks so crazy and it draws so much attention. But like, you should see the way that he sets screens and, the way he helps get other people open and things like of that nature, that, you know, it's not, that type of stuff doesn't show up on a stat sheet or anything, but he is elite at all those things. So, it's been great for me and the rest of the younger guys to be around him and, you know, have him mentoring us and teaching us and, you know, telling us what he sees, because, you know, these guys have been through deep finals runs and, you know, won championships and, you know, won tough, gritty games in the playoffs. And that's stuff that we're trying to do. So, obviously having him and Draymond and Clay around, who have been through the trenches, you know, that really gives us a great perspective and great leadership that we can, you know, implement some of those things into our game.
Hey, Michael, I enjoyed this. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate your time and the best of luck against Portland and Phoenix. Not an easy back-to-back, but I'm sure you guys will play pretty well.
Oh yeah, we plan to make it happen. Thank you, man. I enjoyed it as well.
That's Michael Mulder, Warriors wing, who is really coming into his own a little bit as a player. I think he's got a chance to be in the league for a long, long time. He can defend a little bit. He can make a three. Now the next step is to develop that in-between game. When you're run off the three-point line, try to get a floater going, maybe hit a mid-range shot, things like that, to add to his game. There's no question he wants it. There's no question he's working at it. And we hope to see Michael Mulder in a Warrior uniform for a long time. Coming up on the show, we're going to find out about one of the great records ever in American sports, maybe the one that will never be broken, and that is Will Chamberlain's 100-point night in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We're going to go back. We've unearthed some of our interviews, some of our great sound bites that we had from people who were there that night 59 years ago. Stay tuned for that. Plus, we'll talk to Phoenix Suns assistant coach Willie Green, who was on Steve Kerr's staff for a couple of years, and we'll find out what he learned while working for the Warriors that he's applying now in his coaching career. All that coming your way right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. It's the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Each and every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable. The table has returned on 95.7. The Game. Now back to Warriors Vox.
A look away three. Oh my goodness. Just ridiculous. You've got to be kidding me.
Tim Roy.
Warriors in Portland for tomorrow night's game. 7 o'clock with the tip. 6:30 the airtime right here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dub Nation, first call for season tickets. The 21-22 season is just around the corner, and tickets are limited. Join the Dub Club for priority access to season tickets, along with exclusive pre-sale and special event opportunities. Go to Warriors.com to sign up right now. And you'll be ready for next season. And hopefully next season we'll all be trending in the right direction, as they like to say. And we'll be ready and inside of Chase Center for what should be a fun year of Warriors and NBA basketball. Well, Willie Green was around for the Golden State Warriors' final two championship seasons as an assistant coach on head coach Steve Kerr's staff. Willie is just one of the nicest and most knowledgeable basketball men around. And when the opportunity came to move up the assistant coaching ladder to join Monty Williams on the staff of the Phoenix Suns, Willie Green was really eager and able to take over that role. He's been with the Suns now, and as we talk to him, the Warriors will play Phoenix, and that's going to be on a Thursday night to wrap up their first half of the season. I had a chance earlier this year to catch up with Willie Green and find out about his life in the NBA as a player and now as a coach.
First of all, Willie, it's great to talk to you, and always great to talk some basketball with you, and congratulations on the start of the season with the Phoenix Suns.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. We're excited about this year. We got some guys that's returning, but you know, half of our team is new. But we're excited about the possibilities.
I want to talk a little bit about your time with Golden State. What do you take from, say, your situation with the Warriors that you could help apply with your job as an assistant to Monty Williams?
Oh, where do I start? you know, I was given a great opportunity by Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, Joe Lacob, Rick Welts. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be there, and a great group of high character players and talented guys. And you know, I just learned a lot, number one, and learning how to do things the right way, how to play, how guys execute and play at a high level, how to coach and prepare a team for a long run and a chance to go to a championship. All of those things were things that we learned. And then just the camaraderie that we had, that we have, I'm sure they still have, and that we had there in Golden State, and just trying to incorporate those things into a new organization was the goal in mind.
So can you maybe compare and contrast Monty Williams and Steve Kerr? Now, Steve, obviously, when you were with the Warriors, was in a much different situation than he is now. You know, when you have that veteran team and you've got, you know, guys like Curry and Klay Thompson, Durant and Draymond, he could kind of let them self-police themselves. But can you compare and contrast maybe a little of the styles of what each brings to the table?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a comparison and a contrast. I mean, it's just two different individuals who go about it two different ways, both ways that I appreciate and admire. I mean, Steve, really laid back personality, but really he thinks a lot of things through, you know, brilliant in the fact that offensively, you know, it's the organized chaos, right? It's like he just allows guys to go out and, you know, play at a high level, play at a pace that it's hard to prepare for. And he just has a great way with the guys. And then Monty, very similar in the fact that, you know, he came from San Antonio, Steve did too. He's really intent about his preparation and, you know, has good relationships with all of the guys, gets the max out of, you know, whomever walks through the door. And so just two different, you know, sort of individuals, two different personalities, but, you know, both really, you know, high quality individuals.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that because that's what they tell people in coaching positions. I tell broadcasters this, be yourself, don't be somebody else. And so they each are staying.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah, so they're staying true to themselves. So what are you better at as a coach now than maybe when you first started coaching?
I just think, you know, you get better with experience. Like I said, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be with Golden State and learn, you know, how to win on a championship level. And, you know, it was nerve-wracking a little bit, getting in front of guys, getting in front of the team, guys that has done it at a high level. And you're trying to, you know, tell them how to guard a ball screen.
Yeah.
And so now I'm able to take that experience, like I said, and incorporate it here in Phoenix. And I think that I'm better at, you know, getting in front of the team, you know, articulating concepts and coverages and, you know, just having the demand of the room. But a lot of those things I learned and started from in Golden State, which I'm really grateful for.
The only question I want to ask you about your ball club, and it's because he's been so good for so long. What's the impact that Chris Paul brings to a team?
Well, it's no doubt about it that he's a leader. From the moment he walks in the door, you know, he's having guys come over to his house, watch film with, you know, some of our younger guys. At the same time, he's still learning how to adjust and fit in with our team. But he immediately impacts your organization in a positive way, high character, intelligent. And as coaches, we're learning a lot from him, too. You know, we kind of call him our extra coach. You know, we hired a coach and a player. So we're learning a lot from Chris. He and I go back a ways, and it's just been fun having him.
Well, Coach, we're all excited for your career, but I have to admit that we do miss you. So we wish you, you know, success in your coaching career, and thank you so much for the time.
I appreciate it. Appreciate Dub Nation and all my family and friends with the Warriors. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
That is Willie Green, the assistant coach with the Phoenix Suns, and he is going to have, I think, a long career in this league as long as he wants, really. A really good guy, really knowledgeable guy, and as you heard in that interview, he really doesn't have a big ego, and I think that's great for an NBA head coach, is not to have that belief that your way is the only way to do that. So, again, always great to talk some basketball with Willie Green, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do that again somewhere down the road. Hey, a couple games ago, I forgot to mention this at the top, a couple games ago we had a nice little Twitter question during our broadcast, and we were talking about all the dunks the Warriors had in that first quarter the other night, you know, and talked about your favorite Warrior dunk. We got so many really good answers. The dunks I had forgotten about, a couple from Jay Rich during games. Obviously, the overall winner was the Baron dunk over Andre Kirilenko in the We Believe season of 06-07. Not that it was just an incredible dunk, but it was also a dunk over Andre Kirilenko, who at the time, he was like the Swiss Army knife of defenders in the league. So that to me made it even more special, and why it's such a key play, you know, for the Warriors franchise and their history. Was it represented that season. It was kind of the high water mark of the season was right then. Warriors got the dunk, and then, of course, it fell apart in Salt Lake City. They weren't able to finish it off, but it was truly one of the great 4 months ever in Warriors history for terms of sheer excitement and getting the team back to the postseason. Well, when the Warriors were in Philadelphia, they won a couple of championships. But when they drafted Wilt Chamberlain, they ran into that roadblock that was the Boston Celtics in the 1960s. But they still had Wilt Chamberlain, and that meant they were in every game, and Wilt could go off at any time to score 50 or more. In fact, in 1 year, he averaged 50 points a game, 61-62 season. Think about that. He has an off night and gets 45. Well, to keep that 50-point average, he has to get 65 the next night. It's an incredible scoring season. It'll never, ever be broken, I don't think. I don't think there's any way someone could average 50 in our league with the way the defenses are today, the sophistication. But 59 years ago today, the Warriors were in the middle of that season, and they were playing a game in Hershey, Pennsylvania. You know, it's kind of an odd spot for a game. The Sixers were the home team that night. Not a lot of media went to the game. But let's find out, why were they in Hershey? We're going to go back and relive that night in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Look back at Wilt's 100-point game. Let's start off with, why were they in Hershey? Let's hear from Hall of Fame announcer Bill Campbell.
We didn't draw all that well. The NBA was a different world than it is now. We played 7 or 8 games at Hershey, and while they were legally considered home games for Philadelphia, they really amounted to a away game. It took the home court advantage away for the guys because it was a bus trip. It was a 100-mile trip up and back. And actually, I think the road teams probably were playing on a neutral ground. It was a bad break for the guys in Philadelphia.
We spoke with Wilt in a Warriors special broadcast years ago, the night Wilt Chamberlain scored 100. And Chamberlain had a premonition earlier in the day that he was going to be shooting just fine.
We get to Hershey about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There were no hotels for us to go to and stay in because we didn't do those kind of things in those days. We went straight to the arena where we had to wait around for 5 or 6 hours for the game. But happening to be in this arena, they had a shooting gallery, a little penny arcade. So some of the guys went there, and I started shooting rifles and so on and so forth, and I couldn't miss anything. So if there was ever a clue that I was going to have a hot day, this was definitely the clue.
At halftime, it was a high-scoring game, and Chamberlain had 41 points at the break. But Warriors exec and then Warriors guard Al Attles said that inside the locker room, it was no big deal.
We had no idea, and you have to remember that we had played with him when he had scored big numbers, and of course, you know, the 78 points were in triple overtime, but it wasn't anything strange to us to have him scoring big numbers, and 41 was, you know, maybe gets 20 more in the next two quarters, and he's got 61, so what's the big deal? So, it wasn't anything that really alarmed anybody in the locker room that night.
But the second half began, and Wilt's point numbers began to pile up. The game was going back and forth until Wilt's numbers really began to increase. Defense was not the highlight for either team. Daryl Imhoff, the Cal Bear great, was one of the three players that New York had assigned to guard Wilt that night.
Wilt, as obvious by Cleveland Buckner's 33 points, Wilt wasn't paying a lot of attention to the defensive end. It was a very offensive game, as accounted for by the final score. And Wilt was doing an awful lot of taking off and running down the floor. And, of course, he did have foot speed, and in the right situations, he could make himself available, and he did quite a bit of that in the third quarter.
But Wilt was not just getting layups or dunks. He had game, as they say. Al Addles remembers that Wilt was a multi-talented offensive player.
Contrary to what people may have thought, he didn't just dunk the basketball. Wilt had an outstanding bank shot off the board, and he was able to go. In fact, most teams tried to play him that way so he wouldn't turn in, and we used to get a little upset about it because we liked him turning into the basket, obviously, but he would take that bank shot, and some nights he would get going on that shot, and it would be almost impossible to stop, so I kind of think that that may have been what happened, but I don't think it was just a matter of going inside, him going and dunking the ball over Willie or Cleveland.
Chamberlain and his teammates, the New York Knicks, and those who were in attendance that night started to get the feeling that they were watching something really special.
Well, you know, I tell you, I really had a good first half shooting the basketball, you know, and then in the second half when I became the gunner, my percentages and everything kind of went down, and people started, like, you know, yelling that they want 100, and I kept saying to myself, 100? Then that satisfied with 80? You know, but it was, you know, I tell you what, when you do things of that particular nature, what's happening, sometimes you don't realize exactly what it is that you're doing.
2 months previous, Wilt scored 73 points against the Chicago Bulls. And the record for the association, of course, was Wilt, a 79-point effort against Los Angeles back in 1961. But that game took 3 overtimes. The scorer's table in Hershey, though, knew he was close to that mark. Once again, Al Addles.
I think when he got up somewhere in late third quarter, fourth quarter, Dave Zinkoff, who was the announcer, was now starting to call every point.
On the PA, they're announcing the new record of 79. And during the announcement, Chamberlain goes right ahead through the announcement and makes a foul. They're still making the announcement. He makes another foul. Chamberlain didn't even listen to it. He just made 2 straight fouls. He now has 81 points.
He would go, now that's 83 or that's 85. Then I think there was a conscious effort to try to get him 100.
So now everyone knows, including the New York Knicks, who begin to foul Chamberlain. But Wilt, a notoriously poor free throw shooter, would miss only 4 in 32 attempts that night. So he was, in a sense, unstoppable.
Well, you know what? Listen, first of all, whenever people say, well, who'd you play against when you scored 100, and I say the New York Knicks, they say, well, who was guarding you? And I mention guys like Darryl Imhoff, and they always say, well, Darryl who? And so on and so forth. Well, Darryl, number one, was a great defensive basketball player, college and in the pros. And, you know, it's kind of a heck of a saddle to carry around on you your whole life that some guy scored 100 points against you. And it wasn't against Darryl, it was against the New York Knicks. But no one ever says anything about the fact when he scored 55 rear rebounds against the great Boston Celtics and the greatest of all, Bill Russell. You know, if you're hot, you're hot. It doesn't make any difference who the heck you're playing against. I thought one thing for sure, though, if the New York Knicks had decided to play basketball and not try to concentrate on me scoring 100 points, I might have had 140, 150.
So now it's crunch time, and despite double and a triple teaming by the New York defenders, Wilt continues to pile it up. Once again, Bill Campbell at the mic as Wilt closes in on 100.
165 to 144, and Knowles makes the next one. The Warriors are now within 8 points of the all-time team total. Larisi with the ball down the right side, passes to Chamberlain. He's open, he shoots, he scores. 167 to 145. He has 98.
The time was running out on Wilt. They were now feeding Chamberlain at every chance. And for history's sake, and also for trivia buffs, the name is Joe Ruklick. He was the man who picked up the assist to help establish one of the great records in sports history.
He shot a jump shot from about 4 or 5 inches from the basket, and it went in softly. There were 2 guys on him because New York had been ganging up on him all night, and I was free for a minute because they were trying to foul Guy and Al, and Wilt moved like a ballet dancer, busted the guy off his hip, got clear for an instant, and I gave him the pass, and he floated up and lifted it off his hand.
The last frantic seconds of that contest described by Bill Campbell, moments that are recorded in Springfield, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, as Wilt scored for eternity.
167 to 146. Now let's see if they foul somebody quick. Rogers throws long to Chamberlain. He's got it. He's trying to get up. He shoots. No good. The rebound, Luckenbill. Back to Chamberlain. He shoots up. No good. In and out. The the rebound, Luckenbill. Back to Rucklick. Into Chamberlain. He made it! He made it! He made it! A dipper dunk. He made it! The fans are all over the floor. They stopped the game. People are running out on the court. 100 points to Wilt Chamberlain.
Along with the mark came one of the most historic photos ever taken in pro sports. Wilt in the locker room holding up the number 100, a handwritten sign. Now, Harvey Pollack, statistician extraordinaire, was at the time the PR man for the Philadelphia Warriors, and he recounts the hectic postgame scene.
Now, when the game ended, I had to write a one-paragraph lead for the Inquirer and ship it up to the Western Union man. Then I ran to the dressing room where, you know, all the media that were there were crowding around Wilt, and the photographers were wanting to get a picture of him. So I took out a piece of, like, copy paper, wrote a 100 on there, and handed it to Wilt.
They handed it to Wilt, the Warriors winning the game 169-147, as Wilt shot an incredible 36 for 63 from the field, 28 for 32 from the line. And when we spoke to him years ago, he seemed somewhat embarrassed about the amount of shots he took. 63 shots is something that he never thought he would do in a game.
As the time goes by, I feel more and more a part of that 100-point game. When it first happened, you must understand, I'm from the streets, and when you throw up 63 shots in the game, you're considered to be a gunner, you understand? And I always looked at that as me having my best day gunning, you know, not really performing, you understand? But it has become a handle, and I begin to realize just how and what I did. But what you must understand, that 100-point game wasn't a single man's achievement, as I've been trying to tell people for years. It was a team effort, and the guys on my team went above and beyond the call of duty to make it happen for me.
It took a long time for an NBA player to reach 73 points in a game, and that was David Thompson for the Denver Nuggets against Detroit in 1978. So we did ask the Dipper if he felt someone could duplicate his feet.
Well, you know, I actually believe that they can. You know, I think that any great athlete, let me give you an example. There was a guy named Walt Wesley who played for the University of Kansas and ended up playing with Cincinnati. He averaged, I think, for his career in the pros, about 3 points a game. But one game, he had 50. I mean, when you think of him going over his average, well, if he can get 50 in the 50 and he only averaged 3 points a game, then any great scorer on a hot night, he might be able to score 100.
However, many doubt that today's players who view 50 points as a huge night, or maybe 60 if you're Shaq, many doubt that this mark will ever be broken by today's NBA players. Dikembe Mutombo, the starting center for the Philadelphia 76ers, scoffs at the notion that anyone can ever get 100 points in a contest.
It was never going to be broken. Whoever's going to do that, I will ask myself, was he playing by himself? Or was he playing against the other five guys on the other team?
In baseball, Babe Ruth's home run record has been obliterated. Scoring records shattered in the sport of hockey. Scoring marks in the NFL in the 1960s have been torn apart. Wilt's 100 points in a game could stand the test of time. Warrior teammate Joe Rucklick.
I think it was the greatest single sports achievement ever. People talk about it all the time to me. We talk about five home runs in a game. That's five swings of a bat or a dozen touchdowns in a game, which pretty much looked the same. But what Wilt did that night was extremely complex. It was unimaginably complex because of the number of guys on him and the things he had to do every time he came down the court.
That was Joe Rucklick, and it really was a great way to finish off that piece. We aired that piece back in 2002. And, you know, certainly things have been a little bit different from now. The scoring has picked up. Stephen Curry has changed the game. But still, Wilt's 100 stands at the top. It stands alone. Well, there's a 2020-2021 Warriors season presented by Kaiser Permanente. When we come back here on the roundtable, maybe a time to squeeze in a call or so at 888-957-9570 or hit me up on Twitter at Warriors Vox, Warriors VOX, or hit the text line as well. And we'll also check the Kaiser Permanente scoreboard and a look ahead of the schedule. This is the Warriors Weekly Roundtable on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95-7 the game.
Tim Roy is holding court. Pun intended.
Join me in my court at Camelot.
At the Warriors Roundtable on 95-7 the game. Now back to Warriors Box.
It's good!
Tim Roy.
Well, the Golden State Warriors are teaming up with Kaiser Permanente and the Athletes Corner to turn points into meals with Swishes for Dishes. For each point the Warriors score this season, 100 meals will be donated to local food banks to support Bay Area families. Go to warriors.com/swish to learn more. It's so important with so many people having trouble, you know, with work because of the pandemic. And the Warriors had a pop-up pantry at Thrive Center last week. It was certainly great to see the meals being handed out to those who really need it right now. And so congratulations to the Warriors Community Foundation for continuing that fine work and helping out those in need in this pandemic. Now, Golden State has always encouraged their employees and their coaches to reach out and to do different things to try to further, continue their education, if you will, and also continue their careers. One way they do that is with on Steve Kerr's coaching staff. We have two coaches who are coaching other nation's national teams. Mike Brown coaches the Nigerian national team. Chris DeMarco, Warriors assistant, is head coach of the Bahamian national team. Now, before you say, okay, Bahamas, how can that be a team to think about the players in the NBA who have some tie to the Bahamas. Klay Thompson, for one, right? That jumps off the page to you. DeAndre Ayton is another. Buddy Hield in Sacramento, another. So there is some talent there. They recently played a friendly, if you will, in competition. Chris DeMarco was unable to attend because he's working with the Warriors, and they were playing a lot of their young guys, and we wanted to ask him about where that team stands, and here is what he said.
No, it's luckily I have a great staff, and we keep in touch and talk about everything and game preparation. And actually, Klay Thompson's brother Michael plays for the Bahamas, and he had a actually really good game against Puerto Rico. I think he scored 21 points. So we obviously have Klay on this trip, so Klay would give me updates here and there. We'd have Raymond Ritter, somebody, like, let us know what the score was because we were playing during that second game. So it's exciting, and it's something I love doing and being a part of. And I mean, that was one of the best basketball days I've had, that Charlotte day, because we had the G League team, our Santa Cruz team playing with some of our young guys. We had the Bahamas playing, and we were obviously playing against Charlotte. So, great basketball day for myself.
Chris DeMarco, Warriors assistant coach. Let's get to the Kaiser Permanente scoreboard. We start off with a final as John Morant showing off his basketball IQ.
As Morant comes into the paint again, misses a floater from 14, rebound taken by Beal. Morant's second miss of the night. 6 of 8 from the field. Beal, a spot-up three in transition, no good. Long rebound to Morant. Lobs it up ahead. Ahead of the pack is Winslow to the rim. Two-handed jam. What vision by Ja Morant. Grabbed the rebound, left his feet into the air, and a two-handed over-the-head pass, a la the great Wes Unseld, who played his ball in D.C. Now a steal again for the Grizz. Melton got a hand on it. In transition, Brooks to the rim. Lays it up and in over Westbrook. 66-52. Scotty Brooks has seen enough.
And it got worse from there. Memphis winning 125-111 over the Washington Wizards. Ja Morant with the Wes Unseld pass. Well, Steve Holman is the longtime voice of the Atlanta Hawks, and he has a feel for how Atlanta is playing.
Trey, 10 on the 24. Loops it down low to John Collins. He gets run into. Now John throws it over to Bogey. Bogey goes out to Tony Snell. Tony Snell in the lane. Back over now. They get to Trey. Trey with 1 second has to force it up, and he misses. Rebound tipped high in the air. Clint Capella gets another rebound. Clint's going to take it to the basket himself. He has it knocked away and stolen. Oh, brother. Now coming back, Struss. Struss will drive and lay it in. Boy, the Hawks should be ahead by a lot.
Yes, you were right, Steve. In fact, they went ahead by a lot once they stopped the turnovers. 92-80, they lead Miami in the fourth quarter, 17.6 seconds to go. Hawks will pick up their 15th win of the year and their first under interim head coach Nate McMillan. Down in San Antonio, the New York Knicks are trying to mount a comeback against the Spurs.
Randall for Bullock, back for Randall up top. Those two have made a great combination in recent weeks. Randall for Barrett, right wing for three. It is good. In rhythm for R.J. Barrett. And the Knicks, a slow start from three. Different story. They've now made 6.
San Antonio refuses to double a lot, so Randall has to make quick decisions on the one-on-one moves. Nice find to R.J.
And, of course, right now it's still San Antonio on top, 55-51. That's got 9:22 to go in the third quarter. They've got a good ball game up going in the Boston between the Clippers and the Celtics.
Kick out Lou Williams. Drives right side, hand to Zubats. A little set shot from 17 feet. No good. Rebound pinballed around, and Jaylen Brown eventually snatches it up. His second rebound. Jaylen up the right side of the floor against Marcus Morris. Switches to the left hand, drives, pump fake, spins, and misses the shot, but an offensive rebound throwdown for Daniel Tice. We'll keep that on the highlight reel.
Man, beat both of those dudes. Beautiful stop and go.
And then the Clippers, though, are able to finish out the third quarter this way.
And we're not even done in the third quarter. Jackson inbounds near sideline, 5.2 seconds left in the third. Get it in Williams straight away. Williams moving to his left. Step back, left wing three, at the horn. Oh, Lou Williams connects. Williams gives the Clippers a one-point lead as we go to the fourth on a step daddy three from the left wing.
But in the fourth quarter, Boston has outscored the Clippers 23-16. They lead 111-105, 3:05 to go, and that one in Boston has just called a timeout. Denver is blowing out Milwaukee in Milwaukee, 50-29. That's in the second quarter of play. Coming up later on, the Phoenix Suns are in Los Angeles to take on the Lakers, the Detroit Pistons, and the Toronto Raptors game. That was canceled because of some COVID issues for the Toronto Raptors. Now, let's look ahead to our schedule tomorrow night. 7 o'clock with the tip when the Warriors take on the Trailblazers.
And the jump ball is tapped. It's controlled by the Blazers. It's Damian Lillard with the ball. Down to 2 seconds left. Free for the win. Buries it! And the Blazers win! Damian Lillard, the fadeaway three at the buzzer. And the Blazers win it 123-122. It's a Rip City winner.
Mama told me there'd be days like these. Don't quit playing, boy.
Unbelievable.
6:30 with the airtime tomorrow night, and then the night after that, you got to play Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns.
Chris Paul dribbling on the logo, down to 13 to shoot. CP3, Gary Harris loosely guarding him. Down to 8 seconds on the timer. Booker comes around, CP3 still dribbling. Now goes to his left, hesitates, fades, and hits the shot on the baseline with 7 seconds left. Chris Paul, the closer, puts the Suns up 4.
Thursday night, 6:30, the pregame show, Warriors and the Phoenix Suns to end the first half. Sadly, we have to end the Warriors roundtable, but good news, the final word is coming up next with the JD, John Dickinson, Ryan Covey. Warriors wing Damian Lee will join them at 9 o'clock, so keep it right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. I'm Tim Roy, thanking our producer, R.C. Davis, thanking the man at the controls tonight, Craig Carlos Valentino, coming out of the bullpen to close this one out. I'm Tim Roy saying good night for the Warriors Weekly Roundtable. Stay tuned. The final word is up next. The Warriors Roundtable will take the All-Star Week off. We come back on March the 18th. And you're listening to your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.